And this is AM 580 News. I'm Michael Kuliska. Jailed political fundraiser and Chicago real estate developer Tony Rasko is reportedly whispering secrets to federal prosecutors about corruption in Illinois. The political fallout could be explosive. Democratic Governor Rod Blagojevich is considered the most vulnerable since his administration faces multiple federal investigations over how it handed out jobs and money with advice from Rasko. Rasko also was once friendly with Obama, but based on the known facts, charges so far, and testimony at Resco's trial, there is no indication there'll be an October surprise that could hurt the Democratic presidential nominee. A fiberglass manufacturing plant in northern Illinois will pay $1 million penalty to settle alleged violations of the Clean Air Act. The agreement between fiberglass panel maker Crane Composites with the Environmental Protection Agency, Department of Justice, and the state of Illinois was announced yesterday. The EPA says the plant in Chanahan, Illinois, allegedly emitted hazardous volatile organic compounds. Champaign County Auditor Tony Fabry says the awarding of a no-bid contract to the son of a county employee may prompt revisions to a ban on nepotism. Fabry has withheld payment on several outstanding invoices from B&R Contracting until further review is done by the state's attorney's office. The company was awarded a contract for remodeling work on the Brookings Administrative Center by Alan Reinhardt, who runs the county's physical plant. Reinhardt's son, Eric, is the co-owner of B&R. County policy already bans department heads from hiring family members for county jobs, but Fabry says it's unclear whether that ban contains a loophole when it comes to contracts. B&R was paid almost $5,000 for remodeling work in the past year before the family relationship was discovered. And the effort to improve the planetarium at Parkland College in Champaign has gotten a significant boost from one of the school's first teachers. Robert Carr went on to found a credit card processing company in New Jersey. This week, Parkland received a $100,000 check from Carr. The money is earmarked for a full-dome video projection system for Starkel Planetarium. And this is AM 580 News.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, Barack Obama and John McCain faced off in their second debate of the campaign. Concerns grew about the fighting in Afghanistan and Pakistan, but nothing has dominated the news as much as the deepening global financial crisis. NPR senior news analyst Dan Chor joins us. Hello, Dan.
That's right, Scott. It is deepening.
Well, let's begin with that, because President Bush has been addressing the American public almost daily, in fact, even this morning, trying to exude confidence, reassure an anxious public, ask for patience. But so far, it hasn't been having much effect.
No, it hasn't been having much effect. He's been acting as sort of a chaplain-in-chief, trying to reassure a very nervous public, saying that, anxiety breeds anxiety, he says, which seems to be a takeoff on the famous line of President Roosevelt, that there's nothing to fear but fear itself. The difference is that Roosevelt inspired confidence and that President Bush was already a lame duck, already not inspiring confidence. And now with this deepening financial crisis, I don't think that he has changed very much at all.
Why didn't the financial package passed by Congress and endorsed by both Senators Obama and McCain have the immediate effect of reassuring the market?
Because it hasn't gone into effect yet. It may take a month or two to really work out what it is they're going to do. There are banks, there are others waiting to be bailed out. This is not a point at which to say, give us time, the Treasury is working on this, we'll have a package together in a month from now. The people today who are so nervous want to see action now, and they're not seeing it.
The figures about losses for investors have been staggering, running into trillions of dollars. Yet financial analysts say, in fact, this is a good time to buy if you can afford it. Is there anything over the horizon that's more hopeful?
Not my horizon. I mean, no, in fact, most of the investors know this. I hate to be gloomy about this, but the signs are that this is going to get worse before it gets better.
Let me take advantage of the fact that you are the one news analyst whom I know about, who was around in 1929.
Yes.
Who saw what happened then. Are there, sir, some elements that led to the eventual recovery of the U.S. economy, or at least restoration of investor confidence, that happened in the early 1930s that strike you as being a good idea now?
I'm not sure whether what happened from 1929 and into the 30s can be very readily applied.